Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Dr. Frank Buck. Most people are overwhelmed by the amount of paper and digital information in their lives. Frank Buck makes organization easy so you can increase productivity, decrease stress, and enjoy life. Global Gurus ranked Frank number one in the world in the time management category for 2019, 2020, and 2021. His career path took him from band director to principal to central office administrator, and now to productivity coach and speaker. Welcome to the podcast, Frank.
Dana, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I think the topic we're going to talk about today is such a timely topic with organization and, you know, learning to, you know, manage your time better. But let's start off with the question I ask everybody first is tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Wow. Let's go back to my first few weeks as a teacher. I started out as a band director and I was hired like right before the Christmas holidays. So my first day at school was the first day after the Christmas holidays in a junior high school of 1,200 students. Mm-hmm. So the school year is well underway. All the new teacher training happened months ago. So for me, it was sort of, I was literally handed the keys on Sunday evening. My principal met me up at the band room, gave me the keys, and it was glad to have you. So there was sort of no induction, so to speak. So on top of that, it's 6 weeks until sort of the big band contest of the year, the district band competition, which decided whether or not you would advance to the state competition. So I've got kids I've never seen before. The music hasn't even been picked out. And we've got 6 weeks to get to know each other and put our best foot forward. So 1 week into my newfound career, something happened. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand, in Alabama, it very rarely snows. And when it does, we just immediately go to the grocery store. We get milk. We get bread. We go home. We wait till it melts, which is usually like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. This time it was a week. So when we could least afford it, we missed an entire week of school. But somehow I found a way to get up there to that school and to that band room every single day and work all day long. Mm-hmm. I thought in a way, this is the worst possible thing that could happen, but it turned out to be the best possible thing that could ever happen. Because after having been with the kids for a week and gotten to know them a little bit and kind of see where we are, mm-hmm. I had an entire week to just sit down and plan. And Dana, you wouldn't believe all the little bitty steps that go into something as simple as having a junior high school band concert. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was the thing that I was not prepared for. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it was that once you sat down and you really hammered out all those steps once, well, the next time you did a concert, it was exactly the same steps. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best thing that could have happened to me, was realizing that I just had to really, really break it down and then be able to resurrect those lists. You know, I think school is probably the most cyclic business, education, the most cyclic business mm-hmm. in the world, because we open school, we close school, we have those major projects that happen about the same time every year, mm-hmm. and they all carry with them all these little things to do. Well, if you can somehow trap them all in one place, mm-hmm. you're not having to reinvent the wheel every year at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good to know that, like, getting that organization together for that first concert was able to help you, and it made it easier once you got things going. But I can barely, you know, imagine just how it was, you know, you were unknown to the school, and then you had the grace of being with them for a week, but just having that snowstorm that happened at the right time to be able to plan for that concert, and it all worked out.
Mm-hmm. It did. And a second thing that happened there, somehow my principal knew that I was up there every day, all day. And he never said anything to me. And you'd have to know Harry Anderson. Turned out, you know, everybody should have the kind of first principle that Harry Anderson was. He told everybody else. So I hear all these third parties coming to me, telling me about how, well, boy, Mr. Anderson, he sure is bragging on you about working up there every day during the snowstorm, and how he found the right person when he found me as his new band director. So,
well, did that teach you already in that first year teaching about time management and organization a little bit?
It absolutely did. Yeah, every good thing we do, it happens through the dimension of time. So, you know, you've got those kids, you know, and when you sit down and you've got 60 pairs of eyes staring back at you, you're not only talking about your time, you're talking about 61 times your time, because you've got to make it, if it's a 45 minute class, you've got to make it 45 good minutes for every single person in there. So the amount of time to plan for those rehearsals was, you know, the important thing. And, you know, to have a tape recorder, you know, once I got to be a principal, the thing that I used to tell teachers over and over and over was just set up a little tape recorder in your classroom. Just record yourself teaching. You won't have to ask me about how you're doing. Your ears are going to tell you, you know, because I would record our rehearsals and then listen to them at, you know, that evening. And it's like, oh my gosh, I would have hated to have been a kid having to sit through me. And little by little, you start to self-correct.
And I think that's so important to, you know, look at those videos, even the audio, like you said at that time, you know, and you find out so much just from listening to what's happening and watching some, if there's a video being recorded, it can see a lot of things that you're not seeing as a teacher. And even though that practice has been going on for 30 plus years, I think there's still a lot of teachers and schools that haven't really implemented it. And sometimes it is just up to the teacher themselves to, you know, take the initiative and just record what's going on so they can see, you know, they can maybe discuss it with their peers.
It makes such a huge difference, because what you're going to find things you're doing that you didn't know you were doing, verbal tics, you know, teaching to one side of the room rather than the other. You pick up on the stuff that was happening in the corners, the back corners of the classroom that you had no idea was happening. So video's great. And if you can't do that, gosh, even putting your phone down on the desk and hitting record, you know, that's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better than nothing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your book. So you have Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. And so the second edition is coming out. And tell me about how the second edition is different than the first.
Okay. Well, it actually, the second edition is out now. The first edition came out about 10 years ago. So let me tell you what is different between the one that was came out then and what's out now. And then we can talk about what's coming out in December and the lesson that I learned. It was a great book 10 years ago, and it talked about using your BlackBerry sync to Outlook. I don't think many of us are still using our BlackBerries. So with the second edition, I learned a little lesson about talking about general principles that are going to be eternal rather than specific tools. So as you read the second edition, I didn't mention the word Apple. I didn't mention the word Google. I didn't mention Microsoft. In fact, the only piece of software at all that I mentioned by name was Evernote, because I figured they would be around, you know, way, way on down the road. So we were very specific about the principles that we hope will be in effect 10 years from now, 20 years from now, but realizing that the tools would change. Well, the publishing company, Taylor and Francis, came to me and they said, you know, Frank, with COVID going on and everything's digital now, you know, if it weren't for technology, we wouldn't have had school last year in most places. And they said, you know, since the emphasis is on digital stuff just to survive, would you consider an update or possibly even a new book that just looks at the digital piece? So we said, Let's do a whole new book. So now we're going the other way. Yeah, we talk about principles, but at the same time, we're talking about the real specific tools that I use every day. And if I was a principal again tomorrow, that I would be using, how to set them up, just the real nuts and bolts so that it becomes a user's manual for the principal, for the superintendent, for the aspiring administrator, and really for the teacher on how to make technology make today easier for everybody concerned. So it's going to be called Get Organized Digitally, and will be published, I'm hearing, late December 2021.
Okay. And so if people want to buy the second edition of your first book, what would they gain from that? Because you said the first book mentioned a lot of just things that are outdated. So in the second edition, do you have like some of the tools that people have been using in the past maybe 5 years or so?
Yeah, well, to give you an idea, in the second edition, the book that's out there now, How to Get Your Desk Clean, which, you know, I actually talk about a little tool that I learned from my dad when I was like 8 years old, a little business tool called the Tickler File. Nothing but file folders labeled 1 through 31, each one representing a day of the month. And you're just putting papers in there, asking the question, when do I want to see this again? Put it in the appropriate folder, and you earn the right to forget about it at that point. And so every day you pull out the folder for the day, there's all the paperwork that at some point in the past, you decided that you wanted it to come back to you today. So the first chapter talks about that sort of thing, how to work from a clean desk and a secret behind it. And then in chapter two, we say, you know, if the Tickler files are great, could we do something along the digital line? So without referencing a specific product, I say, here are the seven things that you need to look for when choosing a digital task list. But do choose a digital task list. It's just, here are the things to look for. And so now instead of saying, well, here's this piece of paper, when do I want to see it again? Put it in the appropriate file. We're going, well, here's this to-do that I'm going to enter into my digital task list. When do I want to see that to do again? Give it the appropriate due date. And it becomes the same thing. It's like having a digital Tickler file. And then as we move on, chapter three talks about, it's a whole chapter on repeating tasks, whether you're doing it pencil and paper or whether you're doing it digitally. The kinds of things that you would have on your list, why it's so important. I give a lot of examples in there. Chapter four, we talk about getting your email empty. And I think the record holder, I worked with a magazine executive who had 63,000 emails in his inbox. And when I left his office that day, we were at zero, because now he had a method behind it and easily teachable. In the same chapter, I talk about how to do how to do documentation so that it's easy enough that you'll actually do it. And then as we go through the book, organizing just the paperwork, organizing the digital files and folders, and we end up talking about some scenarios as far as managing multiple projects. You know, how do you handle projects that have all of these steps and make sure that you're pushing each project forward a little bit at the appropriate time? So that's out there right this minute for everybody.
And for school leaders that are perhaps new to their building or new to a district, they don't really know their administrative assistants very well, what would you suggest in terms of delegating tasks and just being comfortable with, you know, letting somebody else do some of the work, especially, you know, for those new principals that maybe haven't had an admin assistant?
Yeah, you've got to. I read somewhere once that principals spend the first year making sure that everything goes through them. And then you spend the rest of your career trying to get things not going through you. But I think that's a step that we have to go through so that you understand. You don't have to do everything in the building, but I think you need to understand how things work together and what you need to see happening. What do you need to see the counselor doing at the start of school, at the mm-hmm. end of school, in February or March? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I found first as a teacher and then as an assistant principal and as the principal was, you start throwing these things on your repeating, you get these repeating tasks going, you get those on your list, whether it's in a paper planner or whether it's in a digital tool. And first of all, you start to realize, gosh, there's a bunch of them. But second, when you can see all of your choices, you start to make better choices and you start to make choices about the things that you can delegate. I guarantee that there are principals listening to us right this minute that are doing things that a student could do. Mm-hmm. How many principals are watering the plants because whoever used to water the plants moved and now it's like, well, nobody else is doing it. I guess I'll do it. And it only takes a few minutes. And then they take on something else. It only takes a few minutes. And by the time you take on all those things that only take a few minutes, you don't have time for only the things that you can do. And so when you give people a stake in the program, when you delegate things to parents, you delegate things to students. Several years ago, the elementary school that I had attended like 50 years ago invited me back to an event that they were having. I walked down the hall and I passed a bulletin board where they had posted where students could apply for the job. So it was like, here were all the different jobs and the application forms and a place for the students to put these forms. And they were all things that adults would have to be doing. But here we had students that were making a formal application to take on these roles, made it better for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it really shows ownership in the building when we're delegating a lot of these tasks to students.
Absolutely. For them, it really becomes more, you know, my school and my school is depending on me to do this particular thing that helps mm-hmm. the entire school.
Mm-hmm. And so for your new book, what would you say is maybe the biggest thing that people have moved to in terms of putting things digitally after like the pandemic hit? Because a lot mm-hmm. of people might have been more comfortable working, you know, with just writing things down or, you know, doing a lot of things just by hand. So, and maybe have you, when you were writing the book, did you find out if there was anything that was particularly difficult in for a lot of leaders to move to digitally?
Well, that's a large onion to peel back. I think the biggest thing for so many teachers mm-hmm. was having to embrace a learning management system. Yeah, mm-hmm. many had already been good with things like Schoology or Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. And those were lifesavers when we went to all digital. Because, you know, it's tough to pass the papers to the front of the row when there is no front of the row because yeah. everybody's at home. So, you know, over, you know, centuries, you know, we've honed those good teacher practices and those procedures that just make things go easy. And now all of a sudden we had to have digital procedures and ways to communicate with each other that were efficient. So one of the things I think we're all seeing is those who weren't already using a digital calendar to some extent, we're now using a digital calendar because that's now what's holding all your Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting calendar invitations. You know, rather than an email saying we're having a faculty meeting in the library Tuesday at 3:00, that's what you get in the email. Now you're getting the calendar invitation that embeds the Zoom link. And if it's added to your calendar, you're talking one click away, like you and I were this morning. Mm-hmm. I look at my calendar. I see it as we're recording it. It was, you know, 10:30 a.m. For me, it was click. There you are. Mm-hmm. Done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get any easier than that. But for the teacher that doesn't have that skill set or the principal that doesn't have that skill set, it's a nightmare. It's stress times 57.
Yeah. And also, like you're saying, we could be cleaning up a lot of those unnecessary emails by just, you know, sending that click. So I think, you know, we're a lot of these schools are starting in person now, the 21-22 school year, and they got used to just sending that one click email, right? So I hope there's a lot of school leaders that aren't going to just fall back into that, you know, one email a day to remind everybody that there's a meeting on Friday or whatever. You know, we should just have that invite, you know, check your calendar invite, make sure people are using their Google Calendar, right? So yeah, I think people got used to that. You also talked a little bit in the pre-chat about people's Google Drives, that especially since everything went online last year, like that's just a mess for some people. So what would you suggest to some?
Right. I saw one of the principal Facebook groups within the last several months. You know, somebody said, you know, how do you organize your Google Drive? And there were hundreds of comments. And so many of them were, beats me, you know, can you really organize the thing? And some of the comments were bringing somebody to do it for you. So, you know, I go into great detail in the book about how, you know, everything's going to go in a folder. And I talk about several reasons for that. One of them being so that those things that are on the internet that you want to grab, I talk about if Google Drive is where you save things, that if you're on a website and you're like, I want to save not only that link, I want to save that whole article. Instead of copying and pasting, there's a little extension called Save to Google Drive. You click it and boom, it's now over in Google Drive, sitting all by itself, not in a folder, which is the reason you put everything in a folder, so that the two or three things that are not in a folder stand out as I need to be placed somewhere. We even talk about that dreaded shared with me. Yeah. People say, what do you do about all the shared with me stuff? And I hear these answers that are, well, you can't do anything. It's shared with you. You can't do anything about it. Just live with it. Well, yeah, you can. And we talk about
this podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Put that in the book.
Yeah, I think that's so important to, you know, have a place to put all those files, right? And a lot of the time it's when I'm making a new doc or something, I'll put it in a specific folder, but like you're correct, if it's shared with me, I don't always remember to put it in a folder, but if I am adding it to the drive, you know, I made that a point, you know, back a year and a half ago that I would just add it to a folder. So I think I'm pretty organized that way. Is that something that you would say is, can be easily done depending on, you know, how many files people have, or would it just be a task that's just, taking way too long? Because you told me about that consultation you had with that person who had 64,000 emails. So, you know, that you got that done in a day. So how quickly would it be to clean up a Google folder if somebody wanted a Google Drive?
Of course, it's going to depend on how much they have. To learn the principle of what to do easily one sitting, and to sit with someone and just start working through it. But, you know, it could be a project that would take, I tell you, to get it all done would be weeks. But to give you the kind of quick and dirty, it could start with, if it's a total mess, you just say, let's create a folder and put everything in there. And create the blank folders we need. And little by little, over the course of the next weeks, months, however long, when you get a spare moment, go to that one folder and start moving little by little. Start with the low-hanging fruit, the things that are obvious. Oh, this needs to go in this folder. And, oh, this is junk. Let me get rid of this. And little by little, you whittle it down. So it's a whole lot easier than trying to search for everything. And I've heard people go that, it's a mess. I just search for things. Well, and what happens is you find maybe eventually the thing you were looking for, but what you miss are the other three or four very similar things that you would have wished you could have seen all together. And putting things in neat file folders allows you not only see the thing that you were thinking about, but see the other things that you had that you forgot you even had. See, the problem that so many people have is they just forget what they have. It's there. They just don't even think about it because everything is such a mess. And things work so easily together. For example, you've got a document and you're going to need that document a week from Thursday. Well, how are you going to put your hands on that a week from Thursday? How are you even going to remember that you wanted to put your hands on that a week from Thursday? Well, everything in Google Drive has got its own little URL. So what I tell people is, you know, right now, while you are thinking about it, go over to your digital task list, create a task that says, you know, look at the so-and-so document, paste the link to that document right there in the task, give it a due date of a week from Thursday, and now you earn the right to forget about it. A week from Thursday, you've forgotten about it. You look at your list and there's that task that's sending you right there. And it's like, oh my gosh, where is it? There it is. There's the task. There's the link. You click, and regardless of how many folders down it was in Google Drive, now you're looking at that. And here's something most people don't know. So many people use Gmail, but don't realize that every Gmail message has its own URL. So if that parent is coming in tomorrow and you want to make sure that you have this particular email up in front of you when you discuss it with that parent, well, most people go, well, gosh, I guess I just need to print it out and sit it here on my desk. No, you don't. Copy the URL for that particular email. Put you a task on the list with the appropriate date, paste the link in there, and then when that parent's there, you're one click away from that email, wherever it was.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, that you can just, embed the URL into a task list. Yeah, that's so easy. It's just that one click.
It is too easy not to do. And, you know, with the task list, the ability to talk and add things to your list that way. You know, I've been digital since the days of the, you remember the Palm? With that little stylus, and you had that special little writing called graffiti. Wasn't that just a barrel of fun, you know? Trying to write on that thing. Input has always been the Achilles heel of our mobile devices. So we went from that to the, you know, the little mouse-sized keyboards on our BlackBerry, you know? And then it's typing with two thumbs on a piece of glass. But the whole time, the thing that's been getting better is voice recognition. So the ability to just pick up your phone and speak, and the tasks go right into your task list for the particular day that you want, you know, get bananas on Saturday. And there it is on your list. As you're looking at Saturday's task, there it is for you. Get bananas. Imagine walking down the hall and, oh, I need to call this student's mother, and oh, that water fountain, ooh, it's dripping all over everywhere. We need, and so instead of grabbing little pieces of paper, or even worse, oh, I can remember that. Oh, I can remember that. No, you can't. Don't beat yourself up like that. Pull out your phone. You speak into the phone. Now you've earned the right to forget about it. And now as you go down the hall and you're interacting with students and you're interacting with teachers, you can be fully present in the moment instead of half your brain being weighed down with all these little bitty to-dos that could be in your phone waiting for you at the appropriate time. It's too easy not to do.
That's so important. And, you know, I could see myself in that situation, like, going, you know, into a classroom and thinking about the to-dos or wanting to write it down on a sticky note, right?
Yeah, you know, you got the grocery list. Oh, I need to get ketchup and I need to get dog food in it. Well, and then you're in that parent conference and here's the mother that's trying to talk to you about her child's difficulties in math. And all you're thinking about is, I got to get ketchup. I got to get dog food. Let the system handle that stuff for you so that you can be fully present in the moment.
In your book, you talk a little bit about Evernote. So explain Evernote a little bit for those who aren't aware and how that can be a useful tool for them.
Gosh, it's kind of like just describing a spiral staircase without using your hands. It is the place for reference information that doesn't have to be printed out on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with 1-inch margins all the way around. Its specialty has always been grabbing that information as opposed to a document. My grandmother understood this kind of thing. All her recipes, they weren't typed out on pieces of paper. No, little note cards, because she was interested in the information. Evernote's like having a bunch of note cards that are organized into nice little boxes that are incredibly easy to search, and it's incredibly easy to add things to it. For example, people that use Evernote use their camera differently. Think of how many times you see people see something they need to remember, and as a reminder to themselves, they pull out their camera and they take a picture of it. Now let's look, where did that picture just go? Well, it went in their camera roll along with all the pictures of where they ate out last night or that party they went to, and there's no trigger to send them there or tell them what they need to do with that photo. With Evernote, we're doing the same thing. We just hit the little camera that's in our Evernote app. It takes the picture, but then we're also able to add a second picture or add a little audio recording or type any information about what we just saw. And it all goes into that particular note, all saved together. Hey, and if there's any writing in the note, if there's any text in, if there's any text in the picture, Evernote will search as you're searching for a particular word or phrase or whatever. If it's in the picture, it will actually search text within a picture and return it to you. So it's one of those things that I know so many people that say, gosh, well, I have an Evernote account, but I really never understood what to do with it. I actually devote 2 entire chapters to Evernote in the book to show you everything from how to set it up if you're a rank beginner to exactly some of the things that you could use it for as a principal and what you could use it for as a teacher and how you could use it just in your life in general to house that information that you want to be able to have with you from everywhere.
Yeah, it seems like such a useful tool, and I've used it a little bit years ago, but not so much recently. But yeah, that I'm one of those people that haven't explored the full benefits. So I think as we start the school year, I'll go back to looking at it. And you know, such a timely conversation, as I said, to have as you know, principals start the school year. And I wanted to ask a little bit about some of the work you do with principals, consulting workshops you do, and some of your availability and what, if somebody were to book a consultation with you, what could they expect? You know,
sure. Well, first of all, since I retired from public education in 2009, and the reason that I retired when I did was to give this something else a chance to grow some legs. So over the last a little over a decade, I've been, well, as far away as Australia, speaking to school leaders on this sort of thing about having a system to manage your time, to get organized so that you can be a more effective leader. So I've done a lot of speaking at national conferences. A lot of people bring me into their school system, say for all of their administrators or sometimes for an entire faculty. So that's sort of one arm of what I do. The book writing, of course, is sort of a second arm. I do a weekly newspaper column in our area. I have a very active blog. I've actually been blogging since like 2005. So chances are, if you've got a question that relates to organization and time management, I've written on it at some place. So you can just go to my website, just search for that particular topic, and you're probably going to find something on it. I do one-on-one coaching, which I love, because when you're speaking to a group, you're doing the best job that you can of addressing what you think are going to be the pain points for the most people. But when you're working with somebody one-on-one, you really see where are they strong, where do they need the help, and to see the progress someone makes between one coaching session and the very next one. For instance, a coaching client that I have right now, he wasn't too bad with his email, 4,000 emails in the inbox when we started. Well, the very next week, it was empty because he took what we had done during that session and he implemented it, and, you know, he was at empty. And so, another session we talked about, here's how to set up a digital task list. I use Remember the Milk. It's got a very robust free version. And so, next thing, next coaching session, he's got it all set up. He's already in the habit of putting things there rather than jotting them on little random scraps of paper and identifying all those repeating to-dos and making them repeating to-dos in the program so that he never has to think about them again. So, that sort of thing, it's fun and it makes a lasting difference for the person who has availed themselves to those sessions.
Yeah, it sounds like a good type of coaching opportunity for those people who just kind of are lost, right? And lost in the paperwork, lost in, where do they even start, right? Because you kind of break it down into different themes per each session. So we'll talk a little bit about how people can get in touch with you in a moment. But out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
Life doesn't have to be as hard as we sometimes make it. And when we feel overwhelmed, it's not because that's just part of living in 2021. That's not just, well, that's part of being a principal. That's part of being a superintendent. Yeah. No, there are systems that we can do that make it easy. There are principles that are eternal. There are tools that have changed. And applying the right tool to the right job, it makes it so much easier. Because those who are in it for the long haul, it's got to be easy if we're not going to burn ourselves out. Life doesn't have to be as hard as we sometimes make it.
Yeah, that's so important to remember. So you talked to me about, you do have a email list and a newsletter. So where can people find you online, get on that email list and get in touch with you? I'd like some coaching.
To those that are watching us and listening to us today, if you only do one thing after you leave, go to my website, frankbuck.org, and get on the email list. Immediately, you're going to get the first copy of the book that's out now, Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. It's going to show you how to get your desk clean. A few days later, you'll get an ebook on setting up Remember the Milk, which is the digital task list that I use. So all of those little one-time settings that you have to go through with any program is going to tell you, you know, go here to this menu, put a check by this one, by this one, by this one, the whole setup. It'll show you how to be able to send emails, how to forward emails into Remember the Milk. You know, think of, Dana, think of how many emails that we have sitting in our email inbox because they're reminders of things we have to do. And it would be so much better to have all those to-dos over on our to-do list. So I show you how to do that, how to be able to enter things with your voice. So that all comes within the first several days. And then every week you hear from me with things that I'm reading that I think other people are going to enjoy and that it's going to benefit them, particularly technology kinds of things, technology tools that I see. So do that. And, you know, when you're there at the website, you'll see all the stuff on coaching and all the blog posts. It's all right there. And when the time is right, you know, you're going to see a little button. If you want to schedule a phone conversation with me and, you know, talk about coaching, talk about bringing me into your state association or your school system or whatever it may be, you'll see a button in several places where you can schedule a call with me. I make it very easy to do because I really do want to help people find an easier way to work and play.
Well, it's great to have learned about your services and just, you know, how you help school leaders and, you know, teachers you know, what people can find out from visiting your website. So it's been a pleasure having you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today.
Dana, thanks again. It's been my pleasure.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.